Radio Prague News.
Some 200 Romanis living in a ghetto on the outskirts of Ostrava have been ordered to move out of their flats for health reasons. The Czech Republic has won a second Olympic medal, a silver for rower Ondřej Sinek, and Czechoslovak-made fighter jets are reportedly being used in Syrian regime attacks. Some 200 Romanis living in a ghetto on the outskirts of Ostrava have been ordered to move out of their flats for health reasons. The local waterworks cut water supplies to the area last week over unpaid bills, and there are reportedly problems with the sewage system. Local authorities say the flats are no longer habitable due to the atrocious living conditions there. The owner of the property says he could not undertake maintenance because a growing number of tenants were not paying rent. There are 44 families living in the ghetto, and many have refused to move out. The city hall has so far found alternative housing for 26 families and is looking for means to provide for the others as well. Sightings have been reported in the besieged Syrian city of Aleppo of Czech-made L-39 Albatross fighter jets being used by the regime against the local population. According to a report in the UK paper The Independent, a civilian camp in the city was deliberately targeted by a regime pilot, possibly flying a L-39 Albatross used by the Syrian military. A video obtained by the UK's Telegraph newspaper appeared to confirm that the L-39s are being deployed in the fight against anti-Assad rebels. The planes were manufactured by the company Aero Vodochody in the late 1960s and early 70s. They were sold by the Czechoslovakian government to various Soviet allies, including Syria, and some of these still remain in use today. The Czech Republic won a second Olympic medal on Friday as rower Ondřej Sinek came in second place in a 200-metre race with a time of 6 minutes 59 seconds. He was beaten to the gold by New Zealand's Mahe Drysdale, who came in with a time of 6 minutes and 57 seconds, 0.8. This is Sinek's second Olympic medal. He won the same one in the 2008 Beijing Olympics. The Czech Republic's first medal at this year's Games was won on Wednesday by kayaker Vavřinec Hradilek. And staying with the Olympics, the Czech women's doubles pair Andrea Hlaváčková and Lucie Hradecká have guaranteed the Czech Republic another Olympic medal by reaching the finals of their respective tournament. The pairs advanced with a 6-1, 7-6 straight sets victory over US top seeds Liesl Huber and Lisa Raymond. In the finals, the pair will either face Russia's Maria Kirilenko and Nadia Petrova or the famous US sisters Serena and Venus Williams. And a quick look at the weather. The coming days are expected to be partially cloudy with some rain spells and storms. Temperatures should hover between 26 and 28 degrees Celsius. I'm Dominic Yoon, and that's the news for now.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, as the Party of Civic Rights wins over another Social Democrat senator, we look at how big a threat it may be to the leading opposition party ahead of the autumn elections. This being Friday, we'll bring you a summary of the business news. And in the arts, Chris Johnson will look at the changes in the publishing and literary world over the last two decades. Of course, we'll be ending the show with a Czech lesson as usual, so do please stay with us. The Party of Civic Rights, established in 2010 around the former Social Democrat Prime Minister Miloš Zeman, is slowly gaining strength. According to opinion surveys, it would now cross the 5% barrier needed to win seats in Parliament, and it is doing its best to win over as many rival politicians and as much voter support from the Social Democrats as it can, ahead of the autumn regional and Senate elections. How serious a threat is this for the main opposition party, and are we seeing a change of landscape on the political left? Political analyst Jiří Pehe explains.
What's happening is that after a long time, some of the older people in the Social Democratic Party who were associated with Miloš Zeman, the former leader of the Social Democratic Party, especially during the times of the opposition agreement in the 90s, are leaving the Social Democratic Party, and I personally see this as a welcome development, since the Social Democratic Party has had, maybe more unjustly for a long time, this image of a post-communist party, and since most of these people who see Zeman as as their leader are former communists. I think that their departure or departures from the Social Democratic Party may actually help the party in the future.
Surely, though, the timing is not ideal ahead of the autumn elections for the party. Will it not seriously damage its chances?
Well, I think that the Social Democratic Party is, of course, at risk of losing some of its voters temporarily. But we should keep in mind that the party of Miloš Zeman appropriately actually called Zemanovci, using his name, is a one-man project. That is, it heavily depends on Miloš Zeman. And, of course, Mr. Zeman may be around for 10 years, but he may also be around only for a short period of time. And I think this party will disappear as quickly as it appeared, because it depends, like some other Czech parties, on one person. So, in the immediate future, I'm sure that these departures from the Social Democratic Party, the strengthening of Mr. Zeman's party, may actually damage the Social Democratic Party. But overall, I see this as a positive development, simply because the changes within the ranks of the Social Democratic Party, departures of people who actually, in my opinion, are not true social democrats and they belong to the old populist left, that process has been long overdue.
On the other hand, the Social Democratic Party has long been handicapped by the fact that it does not seem to have a partner on the left. The communists are not a partner. Now, this party obviously doesn't appear to be potentially a partner for it as well. How do you see that developing?
Well, actually, this is one point where I do not totally agree with my colleagues. I don't see a reason why the Social Democratic Party and Mr. Zeman's party could not cooperate after the elections in coalitions. Certainly, it would be much more natural for these two groupings to work together than for the Social Democrats and the Communists to work together. So maybe this would make things more organized in some ways, because we would have on the left two democratic left parties, the traditional Social Democratic Party, which would be sort of cleansed of people who are really not true social democrats or modern social democrats, and then we would have this populist left party, which is still an acceptable coalition partner for the Social Democrats, because it is not a communist party.
My thanks to political analyst Jiří Pehe for that. And now, this being Friday, it's time to give you a summary of the week's business news, for which I'm joined by Dominik Jun.
Czech Airlines, or ČSR, is to reduce its numbers of flights and the number of destinations it travels to during the upcoming winter season, the company has announced. Last year, ČSR travelled to 54 cities in 34 countries. This year, the number will be 41 cities in 30 countries, according to the newspaper Bravo. The move is designed to better respond to demand. Athens and Beirut, as but two examples, are out, while popular destinations, particularly for business travellers, to nearby European cities such as Budapest and Brussels, will be increased in numbers. Flights to Britain, for example, were already suspended in 2010. Meanwhile, the company is also set to add the twin-engine short-haul propeller plane, the ATR-72, to its fleet from September. ČSR has been plagued with financial difficulties in recent years. In 2010, a 2.5 billion crown debt to the government was renegotiated on highly favourable terms. The Belgian-born businessman Philippe Morils has served as chairman and president since late 2011.
Commerce Banca, majority owned by the French bank Société Générale, posted half-year profits of 7.6 billion crowns in 2012, a 38.8% increase against the previous year. The increase is reportedly partially down to the devaluation of Greek government debt bonds. The company also saw the volume of loans provided to clients rise by 8% to 456.2 billion crowns, while deposits climbed 6.5% year on year to 582.4 billion. As of the end of July, the KB Group had 2.5 million customers, with 1.3 million Czechs banking at this company. The numbers for the bank mirror the resilience of the famously prudent Czech banking industry. Parent company Société Générale, conversely, saw a roughly two-fifths fall in profits, down to 433 billion euros. Rival bank Česká spořitelna, meanwhile, saw first-half profits of 8.22 billion crowns.
New figures from the Czech Labour Ministry have revealed that last year household earnings fell for the very first time since the founding of the country in January 1993. Average wages in 2011 were 12,902 crowns, or about 510 euros. The figure represented a fall of 146 crowns against the previous year. The numbers underscore the impact of the 2008 global financial crisis, which led to Czech wage increases decelerating, stagnating, and finally reversing. One factor for the 2011 figures, according to the Labour Ministry, are freezes and reductions in wages in the public sector as part of austerity measures. Meanwhile, inflation and increases in the costs of food, transport and rent have all affected purchasing power, the ministry added. In 1993, the average wage for a household member was 3,571 crowns, climbing to 7,234 by the year 2000. Meanwhile, average price of goods and services has risen fivefold since 1989.
The Czech Republic's anti-monopoly authorities have succeeded in an appeal case in which they levied a record 9 million crown fine against the Pardubice-based Vodovody a Kanalizace company dealing with water management and wastewater issues. The fine, issued last December, came after irregularities were found in a 300 million crown tender for the modernization of a biological water treatment facility in Semtín, just outside the city of Pardubice. The company was accused of not revealing just how it managed to present what the authorities described were extremely low costs in the bidding process. Anti-monopoly authorities argued that the tender was deficient in terms of transparency and openness. Vodovody a Kanalizace have already signed a contract with a company they selected in the tender process and said they were shocked at the fine and denied any wrongdoing. In light of the authorities upholding the fine, the company says it may now turn to the courts.
The Czech National Bank has revised its forecast for the Czech economy. On Thursday, Deputy Governor Vladimír Domšík announced that former predictions of stagnation this year and growth of 1.9% next year had been supplanted by an expectation that the economy will shrink by 0.9% this year and grow by a mere 0.8% in 2013. The Czech economy has been hit by falling demand at home as well as falling demand in Europe, strongly hitting the country's crucial export market. According to the Czech National Bank, meaningful growth will not arise until 2014, when it expects a 2.5% expansion.
And staying with the Czech National Bank, the institution has also announced that it will maintain record low interest rates at 0.5%. The move comes amidst concerns of a stagnation, and concerns also abound over Europe's ability to decisively address the debt crisis affecting the eurozone. On the plus side, the Chernobyl's decision not to further reduce rates, which were last cut from 0.7% to 0.5% at the end of June, is viewed by analysts as a sign that the Czech economy is not in such a troubled spot that a rate reduction is viewed as necessary. European Central Bank interest rates, meanwhile, are being held at 0.75%. Well, that was the week's business news, and a reminder for latecomers to the show that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it is now time for another edition of The Arts. Writers were at the forefront of the Velvet Revolution in 1989, but when the dust settled on the political changes, they found a fast-changing publishing revolution underway that left some of them sidelined. Chris Johnson looks at the changes in the publishing and literary world over the last two decades.
The Velvet Revolution was, in many respects, about authors and words.
Of course, there was the playwright dissident himself, Václav Havel, who came out of the shadows where he was put by the censors and persecution to lead the revolution that overthrew communism. Havel and other dissident writers were outside the state-controlled publishing system and had to rely on publication of their works abroad by publishing houses, mostly run by exiled Czechs, or at home as illegal samizdat versions. So it was no surprise that the impact of the revolution in the publishing and the literary world was fast and far-reaching. The carefully planned state system was ill-equipped to meet the demand for new books on everything from guidebooks to school textbooks and literary works not tainted by the recent past. One of the first to see the new opportunities was Jan Kanzelsberger, a bookshop manager under the state system. He jumped at the chance to realise his dreams of launching his own chain of bookshops that would adopt the best from the West. The family business has evolved into the biggest Czech chain of bookshops, with around 40 outlets around the country. His son Jan, now one of the top managers of the family firm, remembers the early days.
In 1990, there was practically overnight change for the whole system. Before 1990, there was a planned economics, so it means that there were a strictly limited number of state-owned enterprises. It was a strictly limited number of titles planned for months in advance. And practically overnight, there were possibility to set up own business as a publishing house and to publish any book you wanted and to sell it anyhow you wanted. So it means that practically within 1 year, there was a change of number of publishers, beginning on, let's say, few, maybe 30, 34 publishing houses in Czechoslovakia, has changed within 1 year up to 3,000 of publishers practically overnight.
One of the first tasks of the new publishers was to meet the demand for those books that had been banned under communism. As Jan Kanzelsberger recalls, it was difficult to keep pace with the freedom frenzy.
There were huge amounts of copies sold. There was thousands and thousands of sold because there was a big hunger on such kind of literature, which was banned before 1990, and readers were hungry to read it and to get the books. So it was a big change within a very short period to switch on the new economics. Some of the publishers or the former state companies were not able to survive a very long period in this new time and new conditions. They were too fixed on planned economics that they cannot survive in the new style of free economics.
The demand for the forbidden fruit of the former regime's blacklisted authors continued for some time after the revolution, with what now appear to be astronomical sales figures being achieved. Jan Kanzelsberger recalls one trip to meet market demand.
I remember the first time my father, it was in the beginning of 1991, he was taking the van and traveling to Germany to exile publishing houses. He fulfilled the van of books. We stopped at the Wenceslas Square on the corner and we were selling practically directly from the van, and the van was sold out within a few hours. People were queuing and they were even not waiting. When we get the books inside of the bookshop, they were very crazy about to have such books. And within this year, the Czech publishing houses started to make a reprints of those exile publishings, because the exile publishing has a quite small print run of such books. Of course, they were not prepared for have a big audience and big number of customers. So many of publishers started to, for example, book Černí baroni from Miroslav Švandrlík was one of the banned books. It was a humoristic book. And I think, as I remember, the first Czech free edition of this book was in 200,000 copies to be sold within 1 month or so, within a few weeks. It's, for example, it's the same amount of copies published of Harry Potter in Czech language. So it was, in that time, it was kind of Harry Potter.
Other changes were taking place as well.
As well as the publishing business, the bookshop themselves began to be transformed. The communist-era sales counter operations, where an assistant would suggest what you select from the inaccessible stockroom, gave way to literary supermarkets where you filled your basket with the written word. Translated works from the West also began to become bestsellers and demanded a large part of the shelf length in the new-look bookshops. Under communism, foreign authors had been translated, even unlikely ones such as British author Evelyn Waugh, but not those who could represent an ideological challenge.
In a regular bookshop, we have one or two maximum bookshelves for Czech authors now, and about four, five or six bookshelves for the foreign authors translated into Czech language. So in the number of titles, you can see this proportion. But if you look at the top bestsellers, you see that maybe half of the top bestsellers are the Czech authors or the books by Czech authors. So we have to say that there is not so much Czech authors in the market, because we are a very small market with limited number of inhabitants in Czech Republic. And we have to translate the books and absorb books from abroad. But Czech authors are very, very favorite. And if the Czech author is a good one and well accepted, it has a quite long tradition and their own readers who always buy his new book.
If anything, Jan Kanzelsberger detects something of a dilution of the foreign invasion over recent years. He says that in the mid-1990s, almost any fairly well-known Western author was almost guaranteed to notch up respectable sales on the Czech market. Now, only the big names, such as Dan Brown, will get that star reception. The biggest Czech grouping of writers, Obec spisovatelů, or the Community of Writers, numbers around 650 members. Some of them are big names, such as Ivan Klíma, but many are less well-known, and writing is something in addition to the day job. From his perspective upstream in the literary production line, Chairman Vladimír Krivánek does not doubt that the Velvet Revolution was the right step, but still feels that the initial hopes for something different have been shortchanged.
Já, kdybych to měl zhodnotit, já v každém případě si myslím.
If I had to evaluate all this, then I would have to say that the majority of us are convinced that the changes had to happen. Few of us would want to go back to the situation under the previous regime. The second thing is that we dreamed and imagined that this new world and state would be a bit different, and from time to time we are affected by a certain disappointment and disillusion. But I think this is a normal path.
Já si myslím, že to je normální chod.
Communist support for the literary world was generous, as long, of course, as you were willing to make compromises and toe the line. Mr. Krivánek says he did not seek to get his poems published in the 1970s because it was meaningless in the atmosphere of disillusion following the crushing of the Prague Spring in 1968. But he did get a collection of his works published at the end of the 1980s, when there was a thaw in the literary world and powerful party-backed Writers' Guild. While he does not regret the liquidation of the guild, Mr. Krivánek does feel that the removal of state support for writers went too far after the revolution.
Po tom 89. možná zbytečně.
After 1989, perhaps we pointlessly gave up some of our economic benefits. Certainly the guild had to be dissolved because it was immoral, but I think they could have transferred a bit of their property. Instead, here we are set up as a civic association so that we could not be tarnished. So now we are clean, but poor.
Takže jsme čistí a chudí.
Mr. Krivánek describes the contemporary setup in the Czech Republic as pretty uncultured. He points out that there is not even a law in place calling for the state to support culture. Apart from that, he says the broader Czech literary scene is handicapped by serving a small local language market in which writers struggle to get noticed on a broader stage. He maintains that there are a handful of contemporary Czech poets who would be global stars if they had been born in an English-speaking country. As well as this, he says the massive worldwide publishing industry seeks to push foreign bestsellers on the back of formidable marketing muscle.
Té náročné literatury v tom celku vám zbyde velmi málo.
As for demanding artistic literary work as a whole, there's not much of that left. It is often translations. We read translations and translate a lot. I have the impression sometimes that we often translate overrated bestsellers. I sometimes have the feeling we feed ourselves with the waste of US culture. Unfortunately, that is how it is. Maybe it is not a popular thing to say, but whatever is regarded as an interesting title in the US is translated here within a year, and backed up with massive marketing. That is the bestsellers. The overall choice is enormous, but it is also a bit false. 90% of the offer is low-level literary rubbish, factual works or second-rate historical novels and such like.
Řekněme faktu, nebo velmi pokleslé historické romány a tak dále.
With around 500 new titles appearing in Czech bookshops every day, the market has certainly turned a page in terms of quantity. But there are certainly those who would argue whether there has been a corresponding increase in quality.
Chris Johnston with that edition of The Arts, which was first aired in December of last year. And now, in the time left to us, we're offering you another Czech lesson from our popular series, The ABCs of Czech.
Welcome to Czech by Numbers, Radio Prague's Czech language course, in which we look at the different ways of using numbers in everyday speech. Today I'm here with
Jan Wellinger,
and we'll be focusing on the special importance of numbers on the road. To get a driver's license in the Czech Republic, you have to be 18 years old.
18.
In Czech. Roads in this country are referred to by numbers on the map. The word for motorway is
dálnice,
hence the letter D in their names. The main motorway connecting Prague and the second city Brno is called D1.
D1.
Or commonly
D1.
Other major roads are marked with the letter E, for example, the infamous
E55. E55.
Leading to the border with Germany and notorious for prostitution and open-air markets selling all kinds of dubious products. The maximum speed limit for driving in an inhabited area is 50 kilometers per hour.
50 kilometrů v hodině.
The speed is also referred to as
50.
On motorways, you can drive up to 130 kilometers per hour.
130.
On highways outside towns, it is 90.
90.
The gears in a car are referred to by numbers, usually from 1 to 5. The first gear is officially known as
první rychlostní stupeň,
or first degree, but everyone says
jednička,
number one. Similarly, there is
dvojka,
and
trojka,
and
čtyřka,
and
pětka.
For example, to drive in second gear is
jet na dvojku.
Some types of cars are also commonly referred to by numbers. Some 20 years ago, most drivers in this country owned Skoda cars, and the most common types were Skoda 105 and 120. They were known as
105
and
120,
or the 105 or the 120. Those names are still understood by people today. In July 2006, a new penalty point system came into force on Czech roads, and if you collect a total of 12 points,
12 bodů,
you lose your license. And that's it for today's lesson. Till next time,
nashledanou.
That was Pavla Horáková with another Czech lesson from her series The ABCs of Czech. And I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's program. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for listening and have a good weekend.